Well, are you excited? God's doing some good things in us. And if you're not excited, you're in the right place because, you know, when you get the Word of God inside you, it just lights your fire and gets you excited. You see the truth, man, you can't hardly sit down anymore, you know? Like, you want to jump up and say, praise God, that's in the Bible, hallelujah, I'm free, right? There was Kenneth Hagin had healing school, and this is kind of patterned after his healing school. And when Keith Moore was teaching one day, this lady, while he was just teaching, this lady spoke up and she just said, do you mean this, 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 and this? And he said, yes, that's exactly what the Word of God says. She said, oh. And he just kept on teaching. Well, at the end of the service, she came up afterwards and she said, look, her hand was completely free from the rheumatoid arthritis that had crippled it all up. Just totally free. And all she heard was the Word. And she said, you mean this? Yes. That's what the Word says. Oh. And free, just totally free. And that's what we're expecting tonight. Amen? So, how about we start in Psalm 103 tonight. Let's see here. If you weren't here last week, we were talking about being saved and how big of a mouthful that is to say that you're saved. And how many of you here are saved? You've received Jesus in your heart and you've been baptized and you're saved, every one of us, okay? And so when you say I'm saved, the question is raised, you know, saved from what? I mean, okay, you're saved. It's kind of like it's an open-ended sentence. You know, you need to finish the sentence. And so saved from what? And last week we started talking about how the Lord said in the Bible in many, many, many places that you are saved from this one particular thing called destruction. You are saved from destruction. That means Jesus redeemed you and you will never have to be destroyed. Not by fire, drowning, airplane crashes, car crashes, sicknesses, what other things destroy people? Suicide, even, or homicide, either one. you know what I'm saying? The Lord has redeemed us. So let's look at here in chapter 103 of Psalms. And we'll start in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Some people think there's only one benefit, that you escape hell and you get to go to heaven. But he has benefits, plural, all of his benefits. And he goes on to list some of them here. Who forgives all your iniquities, so you can walk through life free as a bird with no guilt, no condemnation weighing on your heart. Just free. No, all of your sins have been washed away. And they're not just washed away once, but they're continually washed away. As in 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses. That's a continual present. So he forgives everything. And you can walk around free. It says, who heals all your diseases. That means there is no disease that's going to take you down. Because he heals not some, not most, but all. Thank you. All of your diseases. All. A-L-L. That if there was one disease that wasn't included, you couldn't say all. He said all. Every single last one of them. That means, and put it in other words, we are immune to disease. We can walk through life and never have to have disease or sickness of any sort. Just walk through life decade after decade. Like Brother Hagin went 60 years. He said, it's been 60 years or longer since I had a headache. And you know, when he was here on the earth, he's in heaven now. But he would say, I haven't had the flu since, you know, I haven't had this and that. And I haven't had any sickness for 60 years. Okay, now if that, he can do it, so can we. We got the same Holy Ghost, same Bible, right? And so he heals us from all diseases. Verse 4, he redeems thy life from destruction. So when you say you're redeemed and you're saved, God saved you, he redeemed you, it's from destruction. And he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. So he redeems you from destruction. We talked about how Romans 10:13 says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Yeah, I don't know if you guys know that verse or not. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from destruction. So if you feel like destruction, or you feel like something's trying to take you down and take you under, call unto the Lord and he'll save you. Now the word saved in the Bible comes from the Greek word sozo. How many has ever heard that before? Almost everyone. The word sozo in the Greek means more than just saved. And actually, it's translated many different ways through the New Testament. Sometimes that word sozo is translated made whole. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? When she pressed through the crowd and touched Jesus' garment, and she was made whole. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. That is the word sozo. You could also say your faith has saved you. Other passages, sozo talks about being healed. Instead of saying saved, it says healed. It says delivered in some. But the word just pretty much means to keep you safe and sound. I guess, I don't know if this is a great picture, but to have the bubble around you. I'm not sure if I like the bubble idea, but it's a good picture. I guess a shield is really what the Bible talks about. You have this shield around you, and sickness can't come and attack you. I mean, it can try, but you overcome every time. Nothing that comes against you will defeat you because you've got the greater one inside you. And so because he's inside you, you have this immunity and you're kept safe and sound. Let me just read the definition here of sozo. To save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, to save a suffering one from perishing, that is, the one suffering from disease, to make well, heal, restore to health, to preserve one who is in danger or of destruction, to save or rescue. So basically it means to save you, but it's not just saved from hell. That's what I'm trying to say. It's saved here in this life. You are preserved. You know, you remember how you put salt on ham to preserve it so it doesn't rot? Or you put food in jars and heat it and seal it? So we're sealed with the Holy Ghost. And we're preserved. And we're kept safe from all the things that would try to ruin us and destroy us. Now, you know, the devil, his job is to destroy. That's his name. In Revelation, it talks about that's his name that's been given to him. That's his M.O., what do they call it, mode of operation, M.O., in John 10:10, where Jesus said, the thief comes not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he said, but I've come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Jesus also said in Luke 9:56 that the Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. There's that word sozo again, you know. So he came to preserve us, to heal us, to deliver us. Okay, it seems a little bit simple, but I want you to get this picture, because if you see in the Word of God that you're preserved from these things, your sick days are over. Your defeated days are over. Your depressed days are over. You're just gonna be in victory for the rest of your life when you see that Jesus delivered you. And really, it's not that he's going to deliver you. He already did it on the cross. But we got to find out what belongs to us and what he already did. I don't know if we need to review all these verses. We went through so many last time. In Deuteronomy 28, remember it has the blessings listed in the first 14 verses. And then from verse 15 to the end of the chapter has all the curses. So it says basically in the Old Testament, which is the Jewish religion, if you keep all of God's commandments, you'll be blessed, 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 blessed in every way possible. If you break his commandments and you sin and you do bad, you're going to get cursed, 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 cursed in every way. But over and over and over, if you read through that chapter, it says this curse will come on you to destroy you. And this curse will come on you until you are destroyed. This curse will come on you until you are destroyed. And this one, until you are destroyed. I mean, it's like a broken record. I keep saying it over and over. So the curses of the law are out to destroy you. And that's the devil's MO again. But Galatians 3:13, you all know it. Christ has redeemed us from not just sin, but from very specifically the curse of the law. He redeemed us from that. And how did he do it? How did he redeem us? By becoming a curse for us. He took all of that curse, cursed until you're destroyed, cursed until you're destroyed, took it all upon himself. He went to hell for 3 days and nights for us, so we wouldn't have to go. He took all of the destruction. He was ruined. He was destroyed. He was, you know, his body was put in the grave, the whole thing. So that we can be free. We can walk around with health and life and joy and freedom. And you know, if he did all that for us, and we don't enjoy that liberty and that blessing that he gave, he'd wonder why he went through all of that, you know? he would be saying, I did all of this for you. Why aren't you enjoying it? And the best way to say thank you for what he did for you is to enjoy it. To walk in those blessings that he gave you. And he'll say, good, I'm glad you like it. You know, I'm glad you're wearing it. Right? If someone gives you a sweater and you're wearing the sweater, you say, good, I'm glad you love it. Right? You're able to use it. All right. I got to go a little bit further. I can't take the whole time to review or else we won't get any farther today. But I felt like the Lord last week we did so many scriptures about how we're redeemed from destruction. And I felt like the Lord, when I was praying today, he said, now, take this message like a laser beam and focus in on disease. I mean, okay, we're delivered from destruction of all kinds. We're saved from bankruptcy. We're saved from repossession of our things, you know, financial ruin. We are saved from an attack or animals attacking us or all kinds of things. But I want to say right now, specifically, we are redeemed and saved from the destruction of disease. Now, you know, some diseases, they're just annoying, right? I mean, you can tolerate it. And some of us do. We just tolerate it and it just goes on for a while. But and then there's other diseases that are worse. They're more debilitating. They cause you to hurt. I mean, they're not just annoying, but they're agonizing. They're causing you some agony. But you're still able to function, right? I mean, there's certain diseases. There's different levels of diseases. And certain diseases are debilitating where you can't get up. You're not physically able to do things. Maybe you can't speak right, you can't hear as well, you can't see as well. You know what I'm saying? There are things that are debilitating. And then there are other diseases that outright kill you. I mean, they take you down, and some of them are fast. You know, like I've heard of meningitis. It'll take a child out in a couple days, or pneumonia, or things like that. You know, some cancers are stage 4, and they're just rapid. But no matter which level of disease, we are redeemed from all of them, even the little pesky ones, you know, pesky, what's the word? You know, just the little ones that just kind of annoy you, and it's not really causing pain, but it's just causing trouble, and just you're having to tolerate it, put up with it. But Jesus redeemed us from all sickness and all disease. Anybody know scripture that backs that up? There's several, but I'm just wondering if you know. Galatians 3:13, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. And in the curse of the law, in verse 61, Deuteronomy 28, 61, he says, every sickness and every disease that's not written in this book of the law, them the Lord put on you. And so it's counted every sickness, every disease. How about Matthew 8, 17? Anybody know that one? Oh, well, let me tell it to you then. Matthew 8:17, because he was quoting Isaiah, and Jesus was fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy, and he said, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He took them. He bore them. That means we don't have them anymore. Not just the deadly ones, but the pesky ones too. Is it pesky or pesty? Pesky with the key. All right. So we have an immunity from this destruction. Let me give you a couple other verses. And if you're not sure about these verses, I'm going to read them to you. But if you say, well, I don't know, meditate on them. Think about them every day. Put it on your mirror or whatever you do. And keep thinking on them, because the more you meditate on it, one day it'll just light up inside you. If you don't get it just tonight, I'm saying, keep chewing on it, okay? In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus said, behold, I give you power over to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And how much will hurt you?
Nothing.
And by how many means? By no means, right? Not by any means. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. That's complete authority. You have authority to tread on the devil, to tread on sicknesses. You know, scorpions and serpents are like demons. And sicknesses are many times caused by a demon. And so we can tread on them. We have authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing will by any means hurt us. I like that, by any means. I mean, not by this means or this means or this means. No way is it ever going to hurt you. That's freedom right there. That's immunity. I am completely immune from harm right there with that verse. Hurt. Nothing's going to hurt me. Well, it's not the only scripture. Let me give you some more. Psalm 91. And let's read verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now, the word noisome is defined as deadly. And a pestilence is a disease or a plague of some sort. And so we are delivered from deadly pestilences. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Why don't you just say it? Praise God. I'm so glad I'm delivered from deadly pestilences. Aren't you glad we're delivered from that? And then you could read the whole chapter. Actually, this is a good one to memorize and keep it inside you. How about verse 5 and 6? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow or bullets or bombs that fly by day, right? Nor for the pestilence, there's that word again, any kind of plagues or germs that are spreading around, flus and all that junk. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. Destruction. There we go. We are not even going to be afraid of it. Not afraid of it. And the next verse, I love this verse. Verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Right by your side, but you know, right by your right hand. When I think about this verse, I think 1,000 by your side, that might be in our community. 10,000 in my neighborhood or in my household. I mean, right beside you. All these people, but not you. I've heard of testimonies of people that talked about a tornado coming, and they they were trusting God. They were speaking to that thing. The tornado ripping houses. It came to their house, went up over their house, back down, and kept on going. I've heard of things. Have you ever heard of things like that? I heard of, when I was at Bible school, one of the teachers told us this story of a lady that she was inside her house and it was raining really bad outside and flooding. And she looked out and her whole front yard was flooded. The neighborhood was really flooding. And she knew Psalm 91. So she said, "No plague will come near my dwelling." That's another verse, I think. Is that verse 10? "No plague will come near my dwelling." And verse 10. I like this one too. It says, "No evil shall befall thee." There's another one that says, "Nothing will by any means hurt you. No evil, no evil shall befall thee. Neither shall any plague come near your house." No plague, no troubles like that. So she took this verse and she spoke to that water. She said, "You cannot come in my house." She spoke to that flood water and it kept rising and rising. It came up onto her front porch. And she had her front door open, but the screen door was there. And that water came right up to the screen door and it was flooding, the whole neighborhood flooding it. She pointed to that water and she said, "You cannot come in my house. No plague will come near my dwelling." And it kept rising and rising. And it went up, you know, several inches. It could have, you know, if it's a screen door and it goes up a few inches, it should be in your house. But it did not come in her house. And the next day, she went through the neighborhood and every house in her neighborhood was flooded but hers. Hers was the only one not flooded. So do you believe that the Lord can have 1,000 by your side and 10,000 in your right hand, but it won't come near you? Norval Hayes talked about when he was a friend of Kenneth Hagin's and a minister, and he actually owned orange groves down in, where's that, Dan, that city? Crystal River, north of there. He had some orange groves that he owned, and the freeze was coming. We in Florida, we understand. We don't want to freeze to kill the orange blossoms. And so he went out and drove out to his orange grove and got out of the car and stood there and talked to the trees. He said, "You will live. I command you to live. You will not be frozen." And he spoke to those trees. And the next day, you know, the freeze killed all the orange groves around him but his. He had a great crop that year too. And he had got really good money for his oranges because nobody else had any. His was the only one. Another time, Norval Hayes was in an airplane and the airplane lost power. And it was going down. And he asked the pilot, "What's happening?" He said, "We lost power. We're going down. Start praying," whatever. So Norval Hayes, he stood up with his Bible in his hand and he said, "God, your word, God, your word." You know, he's just standing on God's word. And he just declared it. "Your word, you cannot cause this plane to crash with me in it because your word, there's covenant right here." Well, after a few minutes, the plane regained power. And the pilot said, "That wasn't supposed to happen." He didn't know how it happened. But, you know, God can make a plane kick back in again, you know, do miracles like that. So you hear about lots of people crashing an airplane, but not him. How about another lady we knew that used to come to church here many years ago? She said there was an epidemic of fleas. I don't know if you'd call it an epidemic, but they were just fleas everywhere in her neighborhood. People had them in their beds. They were always like everywhere. Just, it must have been a dry month, all the dust and everything. Fleas everywhere. Well, she spoke and said, "There will not be fleas in my house. I curse that," or "I take authority over that curse," whatever she said, you know. She said, "You will not be in my house." And, you know, there was not one flea in her house, even though her whole neighborhood had fleas. So we're saying that destruction is all around us. things are being destroyed. People are getting shot. People are, you know, dying from diseases and all these things. But it doesn't have to come near us. We are covenant people. We've got God's word here. We can stand our ground and be completely free from this. There was a man that came to the church. Man, it had to be 20, 25 years ago. His name was Bear. I don't remember his last name. His wife's name was Dove. You guys remember Bear and Dove? You remember? Okay. And when he was here, he told about how his wife was carrying a baby, carrying their baby. I don't remember, boy or girl, which one it was, but she started to miscarry and was bleeding and everything. And he didn't really know what to do. Do you remember this? What? There was no heartbeat. Okay, I don't know all the details. Do you have any more details back there?
There was no heartbeat.
No heartbeat?
Stand still for a second. I can't do two things at once. There was no heartbeat, and they prayed. I don't know exactly how they prayed and all that stuff.
He commanded the baby to live again.
And then yeah. Later, the daughter was born, and when the daughter was old enough to really said, do you remember that time I went to see Jesus?
Okay, wow. Just for the recording. So he rebuked that miscarrying that was about to happen. He commanded life to come for her to live. And she lived and was born. And like Dan said, that when she got older, she asked her dad, do you remember that time I went to see Jesus? So you can call people back from the dead, right? And we've seen many occasions of that too. So we are redeemed from destruction. Did you have something? You were going to say something?
I don't know if you guys get the ledger, but there was an article in there last week about this gentleman and his wife had been out on the run. She came in and she collapsed on the floor just out of nowhere, you know. And he began to yell, don't leave me, don't leave me, you know, and he called 911. So when he called 911, they began to tell him how to revive her, and he said it felt like he was crushing her ribs, you know, and he said, I'm afraid I'm killing her, you know, and the lady said, would you rather she had broken ribs than to have the, you know, not be alive? And he said, yeah, so he kept going. And he said, lo and behold, he brought her back from the dead.
Uh-huh.
She was completely dead.
She was completely dead, and she was revived.
He brought her back.
Praise God. Praise God. There are so many. We could keep going probably for a long, long, long time and keep telling stories. But I want you to know that you are redeemed from disease, because disease wants to destroy you, and the Lord has rescued you from destruction. You will never be destroyed. So, in other words, we are indestructible. The only thing that's going to kill us is old age. How many of you agree with that? I'm agreeing with that. The only thing that I'm going to die from is old age. Nothing else is going to take me out. Very old. The old people call you old. Exactly. So we are indestructible. But because of his word. Now, you say, well, I don't know if I believe it. Well, then you won't have it. Because these happen for those who believe. And you stand on his word. You say, Lord, this is your word. And his word can never change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. Did you have something, Dan?
Yeah. Jesus could not die.
Jesus couldn't die.
It's not that they couldn't take his life. He literally could not die.
Because he didn't have the sin nature, so he
right.
couldn't die.
And it wasn't until on the cross where he gave up and became sin.
Yeah, and the Father.
Able to physically die.
Right, the Father put the sin nature and all of that on him.
And
then he was able to die, but he couldn't die because the spirit of life was inside of him. And sin is the cause of death. You remember Romans 5:12 basically says that when sin entered in, then death came in. And so if there had never been any sin, there would never have been any death. It would have just been heaven. But when sin entered in and the devil entered in, then we see death. And then in Revelation, when sin is gone and you know, we're in heaven and there's a new Jerusalem and the whole thing and there's no more devil, he's in the pit, then there's no death either. So the only time, you know, if you figure the only time certain thing happens is when a certain person is around, then you can put two and two together. The only time there's death and sickness and destruction and disease is when the devil is around. But we can have heaven on earth. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to be blessed and to walk in our health. Maybe I can end up with this scripture here. Job chapter 5. The Lord wants to emphasize this verse to us tonight. Actually, I think I'm going to put it in the New King James Version here. Job 5, verse 19 through 22. These four verses, you could meditate on them for a little while too until it gets inside you. It says, he shall deliver you in six troubles, yes, in seven. Here we go. No evil shall touch you. None. Zilch. Nada, right? No evil will touch you. In verse 20, in famine, he will redeem you from death. So even if famine were to strike the earth right now, you aren't going to die. How about the next one? In war, from the power of the sword. So even if war were to break out in America and bullets flying and all this, you know, bombs falling and everything, We will be delivered from that. He will deliver us from that. In verse 21, you shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. The scourge of the tongue. Now, the word scourge means lash, like a whipping or a lashing. Anybody ever had a tongue lashing before? Kind of that way. Think about slander. Think about people speaking evil of you and defaming you, or whispering and gossiping and telling all kinds of rumors that aren't true, scandalizing you, those kind of things, you're going to be hidden from that. God's just going to keep you safe from all that. That's good to know, isn't that? And the rest of it says, and you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. Not afraid. Wow, you're about to go under financially. Nah, I'm not even afraid. Right? Well, you've got a bad report from the doctor. You're going to die in 6 months. No, I'm not. I'm not even afraid of that. I will never die from that. I am delivered from that. And the next verse says, in 22, you shall laugh at destruction and famine. You shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth either. So no animal's going to beat you up or kill you or being bit by dogs or bugs or alligators or anything else. You know, we think about alligators in Florida, don't we? But we don't have to be afraid of those. He will deliver us from all those things. And at destruction, not only are we not afraid, but we laugh at it. That's so funny. That's never going to happen to me. And you just laugh. Like Sister Counsel, you remember Pastor's mother in the Lord, and she went to the doctor, they took an x-ray, and then they said, you have cancer. She's like, no, I don't. Yes, you do have cancer. No, I don't have cancer. Your machine's broken. They're trying to be serious. You know how doctors are. They're like, ma'am, you have cancer. It's right here in the x-ray. She's like, no, the Lord won't allow me to have cancer. I'm not allowed to have that. Your machine must be broken. They took another x-ray, and there was no cancer in that x-ray. So you laugh at it. You don't freak out. We don't cave in and go into depression whenever something happens. No, we laugh. We say, glory to God, what a testimony this is going to be as soon as this, you know, the dust settles. Because the Lord said he'd deliver you from all of it. So it's not over till it's over. It's not over until you win, until you have the victory and you're holding that victory in your hand. It's not over yet. So just keep laughing and keep on, you know, just celebrating and praising God for his word, how true his word is. It'll never fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not his word. His word's forever settled in heaven. And you just keep laughing, singing, praising God and the devil all around you trying to get you down. He can't conquer you unless he can take your faith from you. If you say, too bad, I trust God, I don't have to understand it. I just trust God. He said it, that's the way it is. And you stand on his word and you'll never fail, because his word will never fail. And so you stand on it and laugh in the face of destruction. Ha ha, you can't defeat me. Jesus already defeated you. And just laugh at it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I got to let you go. But does anybody need any prayer before we go? Anybody need us to lay hands on you or anything? Or laugh at something? Does anybody need to do that too? You know? Feel free to laugh.
My husband, he's pretty sickly, but he's still supportive. And
how is he? Where's his faith? I mean, what does he believe in?
Well, I know he trusts in God.
Yeah. So he's born again.
I kind of believe so.
Okay.
He doesn't tell me that, but
he hasn't said so. That's what you need to find out first and foremost.
Well, you know, last Sunday was my first visit, and mm-hmm. he gave me tithe money, which blew me away.
Your husband gave you money to tithe. That's good.
Then he gave me money to have lunch after church. And just so supportive. I thought, this ain't him, you know?
Yeah. How about I'm gonna dismiss the rest of them, and I'll talk with you about it. Yeah, let's see if we can help your husband out here. Be blessed, guys.